In Jesus' name. Have your way, Lord. Have your way tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, can you say a warm amen?
Amen.
Can you greet your neighbor, your left, your right? Tell the person, I know you had a good day. So it's a good day. No matter how it felt, it was a good day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take our declaration of understanding. We'll do that every time we want to. We are meeting here. Amen. Amen. If you know it by heart, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's declare one, two. Let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in the manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Please take your seat. Amen. All right, for some time we've been looking at the prayer of faith. Now, what I want to share with us today, I don't know whether it's part of it. If it's not, we put it on its own. But if it is, we include it in the series. But for certain reasons, I just feel like sharing along those lines. How to take refuge in the Lord. You know, actually, what happened some time ago, there's something that happens to people like me, right? Sometimes you just have inspiration, you write something down, and you forget. So sometimes I go through my, where I keep stuff. One day there's a book I was, just to give an illustration. I said, no, I should work on this book, I should work on this book. Then I went to the book. When I saw the number of, I wanted to start. And I saw that there was a title like that. Okay, I started before. Then I opened the one I started before. I can't tell you the number of pages I had written. I forgot. I wrote it some time before, maybe like 2 years before, I totally abandoned it. So I saw this note in one of my notes recently that's on my device. So I went and checked everywhere. Where did I preach this message? You know what? I couldn't find it. So I kept on checking. So today, I said, well, let's look at it. Even if you meet it somewhere else, don't worry, the spirit is still fresh, amen?
Amen.
Yeah, because I've checked where I preached that message. I don't think I preached it anywhere. I think I must have been studying and I put some things down. And that's what I want us to look at today. How to take refuge in the Lord. You know, when we are taking the declaration of the glory of the Lord, oftentimes we read that blessed are those who take refuge in Him. Which portion do we read that from? Huh? Yes, Psalm number 2. Thank you. Psalm number 2. So maybe we just take that as our text of scriptures, scriptural reading to start. Psalm number 2. I read the whole psalm, we read it a lot, but for time's sake, I will do some jumping as I go on. He said, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of this earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now for that reason, O kings, show discernment. Be careful. Take warning, O judges of the earth. I'm warning you. What are you supposed to do? Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Don't let your joy carry you into disobedience. Though in the midst of your rejoicing, start doing things that He doesn't approve of. Then he said in verse 12, do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. However, blessed are all. He said, how blessed are all who take refuge in him. So, in the midst of all of this, blessed are you if you take refuge in the Lord. And today I want to talk about how to take refuge in the Lord. Now, before I get into that, let me just say something here that is in this context. This world is full of troubles. And a lot of those troubles are sent by the Lord. We often are fixated on the one the devil sends. Does the devil send trouble? Yes, he does. He does. But especially against nations. I don't even find where in the Bible. Please, again, many of these things, while I'm standing here, I think about them. If you read the scriptures, I'm not aware. Elder John, you can help me after. Or anybody else. Where the Bible insinuated that the troubles against a nation were sent by the devil. The Lord takes responsibility all the time. We're reading the book of Isaiah. We read it here on Saturday, right? Isaiah 22. Was it on Saturday? Okay. Now, this morning in our home, we read it again. Which chapter did we read today in the house? Was it 24? Yeah, 24. All right? And you see the same thing recurring again and again. Like in 22, where we read on Saturday here, we saw God saying that this is the... I read from New Living Translation, particularly because it was so explicit. It was so clear there. In verse 5, he said, what a day of crushing defeat. Now, if you go to the previous verses, what did he say? He said, the whole city is in a terrible uproar. I see bodies lying everywhere. People have died from famine and disease. He said, leaders of the people have surrendered without resistance. Those who tried to slip away from the siege, all right, they were captured. All of this caused me to mourn, you know, to cry for my people who have been destroyed. He said, what a day of crushing defeat. That's verse 5. What a day of confusion and terror brought by the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of heaven's armies. Did you notice that? It's a day brought by the Lord. The worst calamity this earth has suffered since the days of Adam was brought expressly by the Lord. It was brought clearly by the Lord. He decided to flood the whole earth and destroy all of the people on it, apart from Noah and his children, his household. It was the day of the Lord. It was not the day of the devil. Those who keep on insinuating, all right, as if God does not do any of these things, they don't read the whole. You know, I say that's what happens. They don't read the whole Bible. They tell you to read only the New Testament because you're in a new creation in Christ Jesus. All right? Yeah, that's what they say all the time. Unfortunately, that's not what the New Testament itself said. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm an apostle of this gospel which the prophets preached. The gospel is recorded all the way from Genesis down to Malachi. The gospel is recorded everywhere there. He said all scripture is inspired. When Paul wrote that to Timothy, all right, he wasn't talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John because they did not exist then. He was not talking about his own letters. He didn't think they were scripture. They were just communication between an apostle and the people that he blessed and he ministered to. When he said all scripture is inspired, he was not talking about the book of Acts, because it probably had not been written then. I can't remember my date, but I don't think it had been written. I hope you're getting my point. He wasn't talking about all of those things. He wasn't talking about Revelation. He was talking about he was talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He was talking about the former prophets, Samuel. And he was talking about the latter prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all right, Ezekiel, and all of those people. He was talking about the writings, Esther, Daniel, Nehemiah, Ezra. That was what it meant as all scripture is inspired. So nobody should tell you not to read an inspired scripture. When the Bible itself, when the apostles, when the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught us, be careful to study all these things therein. And Paul wrote to Timothy, give attention to the public reading of scripture. It was referring to Isaiah. It was referring to Nahum. It was referring to Malachi. I hope you're getting my point. Please, drop that doctrine because it is not accurate. That God doesn't do these things. Like I said, please, if you're not around last Saturday, I forgot the title we gave the message. Please go and listen to it. Just use the date. If you follow up by podcast, if you go to our website, you won't find the date on it. But if you go to the podcast and you go to the YouTube, they always have the date, all right, when the message was preached. So it was last Saturday. What's today's date? Anyway, what's the date of last Saturday? Even if you don't know today's date, at least you know last Saturday. That one has passed. 11th of July, all right, 2026. So you can go and listen to it, all right, in which we explain in that Isaiah chapter 22 that God said when all of these things happened, I had a purpose for it. I had a purpose. What I was seeking was that people will come to repentance. That was what I wanted. He said, but instead, they were busy fortifying their walls. They were busy gathering more weapons. They ran into their armory in the bush to go and gather more weapons. They started shouting, where's the security forces in Nigeria? Of course, that was not Nigeria, all right? But you get my point. I'm talking about the way Christians talk these days. Government should be held to account. They should. I think somebody said that, thank God for the rescue of those people. Though. But what we want to hear is that there's no more kidnapping. I said, America, where you live, they have one mass shooting every day. You have not stopped. I said, let's rejoice of the progress that we are making. Because, listen, if God troubles you, you are troubled. If God gives peace, no one can make trouble. It's not the duty of the government. It doesn't lie with them. From where shall I help you? That was what the king said. I remember one time when Boko Haram was in his early stages, those days, Goodluck Jonathan came out. And people said, why would he say that? It was saying the truth, that there was Boko Haram in Aso Rock. How many people remember? As a president, why should he say that? Well, I don't know. But it was the truth. He found the sympathizers everywhere. The security report he got, no people were working in that place. And they were working for Boko Haram. They arrested the kingpin, one of the kingpins there, one of the major operatives of Boko Haram. And they asked them to transport the fellow from one place to the other. The security were transporting him on the way, stopped for him to jump down. You remember? I remember the guy's name. I don't want to mention it now. He's named after one of the major cities in Nigeria. They recaptured him somewhere later on. The DSS found him. They found him and picked him up long after in another state in Nigeria. They just stopped and allowed him to jump down. It was in the news. I'm not telling you something that I manufactured. So when a president says that, help, that you should know that he needs help. Only the Lord, let me just say this. Please, if you are not in Nigeria, pardon me again. Let me speak to Nigeria matters. You're a Christian. You know, I talked the other day, that was on that Saturday, about, yes, I talked about the message to the guardians of the soul of a nation. Remember that? Yes. There are guardians of the soul of a nation that preserve that nation. The state of the nation is affected by the spirit of the people inside there. Evil spirits are trying to enter a nation all the time. I won't mention names now, but remember the nation in this Africa continent where people killed their neighbors. And in 3 months, they killed 800,000 persons by hand. They were not using guns. They were using cutlasses, knives. There were husbands that killed their own wives. The spirit entered into the place. And that spirit festered for a long time. The spirit of bitterness. I talk about this all the time. Don't ever, for whatever reason, drink a wrong spirit. Even if it seems to be siding you. If the spirit is a spirit of division, and those who are dividing are coming to your side, tell them, please, excuse me. Give me space. Let me worship my God. Let me serve my God. The fact that you are siding me will not allow me. I remember when I was serving that time, I served in one of the divisions of one battalion in Nigeria Army. Of course, I'm a medical officer. So I was a medical officer there. And I remember one of the sergeants that worked with me was a, I don't know what I was, yeah, I think it was a nurse. It's a medical, it's a medical corps. I didn't like the man one bit. I can't tell you the reasons now. First, he was not a good person. That's basically what it was. He did all kinds of shady things. One thing that used to annoy me more, all right? She likes it most. Yeah, there was a thing that annoyed me most about him. He had this habit of supporting me when we were discussing moral principles of life and scriptural matters. There are times I feel like I say, Saji, we used to call it, we used to joke with him, call him Saji. I feel like I say, Saji, please, will you leave me alone? He used to attend Deeper Life Church, but did not believe a word of what they were preaching there. It was obvious. By his life, you know, he didn't believe what Pastor Kumi on their local pastor was preaching. It used to offend me that maybe I'm arguing about something now with people. He must put his mouth and support me. And his support was like that of that girl that had the familiar spirit. That was telling people to believe Paul. And that what these are men, servants of God, sent forth to show the way of salvation. You know, when I was young, when Paul cast out that spirit, I said, Paul, what's your own? What did they stress you? The girl is supporting you now. I did not know. Of course, when I became older, then I realized that, okay, Paul, please go and cast that spirit out again. It was a spirit of divination, a python spirit. It's not just words. It's a spirit. It was a spirit. The Bible said this she did for many days. So why did it take Paul so long to notice it? I'll tell you. Paul was like me too initially. She will interrupt. Listen to them. Except that anytime she finishes talking, nobody heard anything again. And if you're a preacher, you will know when nobody is grabbing what you are saying. Nobody can understand. Second day, after a while, Paul said, okay, I get it now. Somebody is releasing an evil spirit upon my congregation. So next time she opened her mouth, Paul said, shut that mouth. Now, you evil spirit, you python spirit of divination, come out of her now. And the spirit left. Why am I saying this? If somebody who has a divisive spirit is on your side, no agree, oh. They will come to your office, say, what our guy is doing is not right. And in this office, we will not agree. Never conspire against your boss. Never. See. Okay. Can we digress? What did I say? Never. Even if he's wrong, 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 you must never be involved in a conspiracy against him. You know why? God will not side with you. It's disobedience. Is disloyalty, is iniquity. Once the entire office, they close the door. Close the door. Bro, what was he saying? This old guy is doing too much for this. Just say, excuse me. Excuse me, I want to pray. I want to pray. What happened? I say, I want to pray. Why don't you just go outside first? I just felt like dropping this by the way. You two don't do it. If a woman and husband quarrels, don't sit with her. And we say, this your husband's own is too much. Let me just tell you, most women, they are looking at you funny. Say, what do you come from? Don't agree. She'll quickly tell you, say, I agree already. Come and go your way. I'm telling you, don't let any conspirator support you. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, don't let it. Anybody who has a divisive spirit, rebellious spirit, don't allow them to be in your camp. Don't. Once they come, my man, make a how now? Don't drag chair, don't sit down. Once you do that, you get up, say, I want to pray. You always pray. My sister, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Paul said, pray without ceasing. And once he leaves, it's not prayer. Father, I want to thank you for sending out the troublemaker. Go and read your Bible. Jonadab was David's nephew. He was the one that helped Amnon do the evil. And then he joined
Absalom to kill Amnon for the evil that he taught Amnon to do. Bad people should never be supporting you and you'll be nodding your head. One day, woman came to me in this city. Good brother, you used to be. I said, used to be. Then he came and said, Banky, what they did is very wrong. He said, this is pure tribalism. I said, bro, can we stop this? No, let's call a spade. Okay, this spade is not a spade. This one is just a big spoon. The person who wants to use it to eat has a big mouth. Doesn't concern. In fact, it's a serving spoon at a big old one bed. You know those ones that women used to, they would dip it. This is not a spade. This is a spoon. Can't you see it? He said, no, me, I like to tell the truth in my mind. I have lived in Enugu all these years. I came here before you. I have never from my mouth used the word tribalism. Not once. This is which year are we now? 2026. In a few weeks, in a few months, let's give about two, three months at most, 2 months, it will be 26 years that I've lived here. I have never, not once, opened my mouth and accused anybody of tribalism against me. I'm being honest with you. Of course, I don't expect my wife to say I'm lying, but she's a witness. The day a man came and told me, hey, by the way, he's from here, Anambra State. And he told me, this is tribalism, Banky, let's call it what a spade. I said, it is not. I said, no, I refuse. Because I know what it means if I get into that evil spirit. It's a spirit. He was coming to my side. He was on my side, though, defending my cause. Meanwhile, God gave me enough wisdom to reject him. Not just the spirit, though. I rejected him. Carry your spirit and go. I argued with him. I said it. He said, no, I said it is not. Leave it. What must I be the only excuse you have? If your spirit is open to such things, you have enough reasons to accept it. I rejected that spirit. I'm talking about accepting spirits, right? Don't let it. Someone that has a divisive spirit, don't let him support you. Yeah. Hey, just let me tell you about such people. Eh? They're not supporting you out of love. They're supporting you. You are the only divided person they have right now. Did you hear what I said? Okay, you didn't get what I mean. That you are right now, you are the only one that they have something to hold on to that will listen to the spirit of division. And tomorrow, when it is against you, trust me, they are there. And this guy who I was telling you about, later, one guy used to tell me, he said, sir, you call this man your friend? I said, yes. He said, I think you should check that friendship. You won't see anything. He said that thing to me many times. Later on, I now found out why. When he's with people and I'm not there, he will say everything bad about me, tear me to pieces. But they being adults, they wouldn't say anything. The guy will just say to me later, you say this man is your friend. I said, this friendship, why don't you try and review it? I used to wonder why. Not until one day. Of course, I began to see. Then one day, somebody called me from far, who was doing the same thing with again against me. And that one had done me for long. That one was offended. I allowed him to finish talking. He carried his phone and called me. He said, look at this guy. Called me and be talking kind of nonsense about you in my presence. Doesn't know that you are my organ. I laughed. That one sat me on the phone for almost an hour, reporting everything he was saying. So I just thank God that I didn't let... See, when they find you available, they will pour that spirit on you. And you know what? I wasn't angry with him. Do you know why I wasn't angry with him? I said, it's not me. It's just the opportunity. That is every opportunity. I don't get my point. If tomorrow now, he can divide you against your own shirt, if there's no human being. If you just this shirt I bought yesterday, I don't know, it's a bit tight. That's how they are. These useless shirts these days, once sweat touch them, they will shrink. It will begin test to read you and your shirt too. So I told people that, listen, I don't know him. I'm like, I'm not angry with him. He can't help himself. It's a bad habit he has. I didn't take it personal. I just realized it's his spirit. He can't help himself. But I'm asking you, don't allow such people into your camp as if they are trying to help you. They are not good people. They will scatter that arrangement. They will.
Once somebody joins your group, and the first thing he's telling you is everything that's wrong, where it's coming from. Just use style to postpone the human being. Is that English? Does it make sense to you? Just tell him, look, go forward first. We'll meet you later. Will they come? They are not good people. You don't have to be angry with them. Just don't confide in them. Don't discuss your matters with them. They are not good. They have a divisive spirit. Now, why am I talking about that? This spirit, it comes little by little. If we swallow it, the Bible said, let no root of bitterness springing up, all right, trouble you, and many be defiled. They start defiling people. They start scattering societies, environments. Don't let people, I've been saying it again and again. Don't let them pour bitterness into you. You can be off, people can offend you. But you have a duty to make sure that you forego of it. You let it go. And don't let bitterness become your portion. It's not for their sake, it's for your own sake. The Bible says it troubles people and many are defiled. Very important, please. Fight bitterness. Say, no, I will not be angry. I will not allow anybody to destroy my life, making me angry all the time. Bitter. Some people, one day, incidentally, the same guy I was telling you about, they encountered somebody else. If I saw that guy today, incidentally, we met somewhere. Long time. So that day he came to my office. He said, please, sir, what did I do to your man? I said, who? He mentioned the guy's name. I said, what happened? He told me how he was applying for something, and this man happened to be like on the committee, and the way the man opposed him was a kind of promotion. And opposed him. I said, he did that? He said, yes. That he came to me because he knew I knew him, that I want to know, is there something I did against him? I said, no, it's not about you. He doesn't know you. I was not begging him. I said, no, calm down. If you see him on the road, I said, I'm sure he can't recognize you tomorrow. I said, he doesn't know you. I said, it's just him. It's his way of feeling important. You're on a committee, there are 5 people. 4 say they should promote you. He will say, no. Why? That's the only way to show that he has more power than the other 4. I said, it's not about you. If the 4 of them had failed you, he would have passed you. He will have stood and spoken until they are converted to his side. Then he leaves the place feeling important. I say, you're just unfortunate that everybody was on your side. So the only way he gets his sense of fulfillment is to be against them and unfortunately against you. So I begged him, please, don't be angry. When you see a sick human being, there's no need. If I'm going on the road now and a madman spits at me, should I spit back? If I spit back, what does that tell you? And I see 2 of them on the road. If he does that, you just look at the guy. In fact, you won't even let your hand touch the spit. You go and buy tissue. And why this? Because sometimes this thing, they move through spit. You never can. Immediately, you remove the cloth and send it to the dry cleaner. Please help me dry clean this cloth and remove madness from it. But you will not dignify the human being with exchanging anything. One day that actually happened to me. Somebody said something like that. Someday I was talking to one of my younger colleagues and I just mentioned something. That's what this man was saying. They said, sir, did you hear? I said, I heard. He said, but you didn't react. I said, react to what who said? I said, don't you know who said it? I said, if you saw me reacting, wouldn't you ask whether my head is okay? I said, you dignify. Like one lady asked my wife one time, madam, did you carry my name somewhere? So that she has not been feeling wherever since my wife was angry with her. You know what my wife said? I can't dignify that nonsense with a response. She didn't even say yes or no. She said, me and you can't enter that kind of conversation. You used to work for me. You don't work for me anymore because of some things that happened. I called you back to talk to you so that, there's no need to just let things like that turn people to you. There's no need. Let's just be friends. And I'm talking to you, asking me where I went after you left here. Are you mad? I always look at her and say, me and you, we can't have that kind of conversation.
Please, I'm begging you, don't let any spirit of bitterness. Until you say, that man didn't want you to succeed. Yourself, you ask yourself, why can a human being hold your success back? You need to pray some more. Yeah, you need to pray some more. It's like David said, Saul didn't want me to be king. What difference does it make? Let me ask you, did Saul want him to be king? Did he try hard to stop him from being king? Did he succeed? Who died? Who became king? So if you didn't make it, it's not Saul. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If you did not make it, it was not so. You were not anointed. They didn't anoint you. They were anointing somebody as rain fell on your head. You thought it was the same thing. It's not the same thing. That one was oil. This one was rain. The Lord is good. Use everything you have to fight off bitterness from your life. That's the point I'm making. All right? Don't let anybody make you afraid of people. I saw a joke on that mean status. But I'll get back to what I'm going to say. Remember how to take refuge in the Lord. where's that mean? Was the status I saw it? Somebody, I don't know how many of you saw it. Some people saw an owl in their kitchen. And they started praying. Oh, the enemy, they will not succeed. I cast you out. You will die, I will leave. And the owl was looking like, what's going on here? The owl didn't know what all the commotion was about. He entered somebody's house. Whether it's a navigational error, we don't know. I know owl can turn their head like this. Turn their head like that. This one will pray here. In Jesus' name, they will say amen. The owl was confused. Then the person who made the video now showed the white man who put one owl on his head and put one in his hand. I was explaining the beauty of the birds and see what ignorance does to people. Brother, I keep on begging you. Don't let anybody turn you to a mental case. Please, if you see an owl in your kitchen, go and grab a camera and take photo and do selfie. Yeah, that you can't trap the owl. It wants to go away. Otherwise, I said, find the guy's space. The other day, because of where I live, there's a lot of birds around, all kinds of birds. They've broken my glass before. They've died flying in my area because they won't know that there's a particular glass I have. This way it catches the sun. It always makes it look as if it's empty space. So several times, birds have hit it, bam, and some of them have died on the spot when they're flying at high speed. All right? So a few days ago, I just heard another commotion. I knew what it was. So that one, it just hit the bird. It wasn't flying too fast. It hit my window. Bam! Then it stopped and looked. And was pecking whether the thing, whatever he's seen, would move out of the way. What did I do? I quickly went, put on my phone, camera. I took a snapshot. Twah! He didn't know what it was. I now opened the window to get a better one. He ran away. Yeah, I don't have any problem. It's a bird. And if it's night, it doesn't bother me. And if it's a snake, okay, that one is one that's a problem because I'll kill that one. And not because I think it's a witch, just because I think this guy might be poisonous, go and bite somebody. But you're just a normal snake. And in case you're made by Egyptian magicians, I'll quickly look for my own stick, throw it down. My own stick will turn to a snake also. They will hunt you down. I tell that snake, don't come back until you have caught that guy. He'll swallow you. When my snake comes back, I pick it up, it becomes a rod. I'll wait. Whether I really swallowed you or just came back home. The Lord is good. Oh, why did I start on this now? Who can help me? Now, I know what I'm doing, but let me see whether you guys are following. Good. 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 Yes, yeah, because of bitterness. They now become mental cases. Remember, add that one to it. Yeah, all right. They are not normal again. They are doing on the main road against mad people. Thank you. All right. Where we began from is I was explaining that let's understand. Okay, why I went into that, I know why. The country where people killed each other, 800,000 by hand, it was that spirit. That's why I went to all of that. It's that spirit. And that spirit came this way. We have to fight it. And I believe we have to keep fighting it.
The days of Ensas, that spirit came also. And it destroyed so many things in this nation. I was telling a story about that a few weeks ago. I didn't finish it. When that whole thing, when COVID began, it was horsemen. I wrote an article on it. I think it's still on our website. It was horsemen riding. And those horsemen, we prayed against the first one, COVID. And it worked. Then, I told you about echoes of accusation. That, naturally speaking, you can tie events. All right? Like somebody was saying in Lagos the other day, one doctor was speaking, that was yesterday, that after flood comes disease. So that's what happens. And it happens, like you see tsunami hit Bandaichi at that time. Usually after that, disease will come. And people assume medically that it's because of dead bodies. And all that. But really, if you know, those things, spirits ride on them. What you are seeing are the effects of the spirits. So they ride horsemen, they go one after the other. So you see flooding, then you see disease, like outbreak of, like that one I was talking about, now it was cholera that came after. After they had finished killing each other by hand, in the camps where some people gathered, cholera entered. And cholera began to kill, killing people by their dozens. Scores of people were dying from cholera. So medically they will tell you, this is the progression. So, and that's how it goes. It's horsemen, actually. One horseman man has gone, the other one comes. You see in the Bible, there's an ashen horseman, there's a black horse, there's a black horse, there is a red horse. They ride after the other. So, but humanly speaking, we try to tie it together by physical explanations. For example, we say the famine led to disease. But the Bible says that what we see did not come out of the things that are visible. So it's not the famine that led to disease, actually. The famine spirit went first. Then the pestilence spirit went after. So then, let me just get back to what we're saying. So Bill Gates and Co., then, they uttered words based on their understanding. But they were actually analyzing prophetic things. They didn't know. They said after COVID, because of the lockdown, we come hunger. As a result of the hunger, we call, what will happen? Fight, riots, we break. So they were warning about it. Now, instead of us to understand that, for some of us around here, we prayed and God helped us as a nation. All right? The guardians of the soul of the nation, they prayed. And God helped against the first horseman, so he passed. Some people went with it, we know. We're not saying it was totally without any effect. Then the next horseman that was going to come now was violence. All right? Now, instead of us to pray about it, you know what we did? We opened our hands out. Why? We thought it was an anti-Buhari thing. Do you get what I'm saying? We thought it was an anti... So, that's why you didn't see those things in northern Nigeria, but we saw a lot of things in the south. And then the violence spread. It started with simple protests. Next thing, as you know, it broke down to violent protests. Some people were even, you know, of course, you now say it's NSAS, NSAS. Are you getting my point? Yeah. But we, pastors were holding services for people protesting. It was all a lie. They didn't care about SARS. There was a spirit behind it. I'm not talking about the politics. I'm talking about the spirit. There was a spirit behind it. And we fell for it. The next thing is violence everywhere, destruction everywhere. People couldn't go out. It was because we opened our hands wide. If when we heard that thing, we had continued to pray and we said to God, no, we would not have experienced that thing at all. But we fell for it. It was so terrible. Now, it keeps paining me when some of us speak, people who don't have understanding, they keep on thinking that you're not awake to the realities. No, you are awake to fake realities. Satan takes advantage of your ignorance. Takes you away from your assignment as a guardian of the soul of the nation. And uses bitterness and anger to wreck your spiritual ministry in that area. Then when things fall physically, you say, we said so. Meanwhile, you didn't do your work that God ordained for you to do. Please, I went into all of this, making a statement at the beginning. That troubles do come. When it comes upon nations, it's the judgment of God. Every single time.
Let me say this again. I didn't say it's the will of God. Did God send it? Yes. How? As a judgment. Why is it a judgment? Or what do I mean by judgment? Many times it is because he is angry. And he said, I have sworn by myself. If you read the end of Isaiah 45, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness. I will not turn back. That to me, every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear. He swore. And when he says that, people think that he will just come to the house of people and say, hey, I'm the Lord thy God, believe in me. No. He will send apostles, evangelists, and prophets, people to go and, we call them missionaries. They will preach. People will refuse to believe. Or they will claim to believe, but believe in disobedience. Then God will ride in with his sword upon his thigh. And he will ride on prosperously and in majesty because of truth. The Bible says, and his right hand will do terrible things. Literally, terrible things. He will kill, he will maim, he will kill with disease, he will kill with famine. Why? He said, the other I was quoting for you here. He said, why is your cloth red? He said, oh, he said, like one who has been treading grapes in the bath of grapes. He said, oh, that's the blood of my enemies. I just came back from threshing them. And that was God speaking. That his cloth was soaked. They thought he was threshing grapes. He said, no, it's the blood of my enemies. Those who worship say the devil, they will leave that thing. God said, I'm the one wearing the garment. It soaked the blood of my enemies. It's the day of the vengeance of the Lord. You live long enough on this earth, people will serve God. They will. Because if they don't, he will destroy. I pray we praise the true God. God is not a nice person that's begging people, say, believe in me now. Say, I'm busy now. Come next week, I'll go believe. Let me tell you how God is. The way your life is going, you are going to die and go to hell. Let me just offer you deliverance. If you don't receive it, I'm going to come 3-4 times. Because I'm feeling sorry for you. When I've finished coming 4th time, the next time I come, you won't recognize me. Then when you don't believe, next time he comes, he will put his hand on your neck like this and choke it. And you will beg and say, no, the time for begging expired last week. And I told you. So after I kill you physically, I will send you to hell. And there's no redemption. Tell people that's how he is. You can slap him during the season of slapping. See all those that slap just like when he went to the cross. Let him come back. Let him come and slap. He marks the time. Like, this is a lamb period. I'm the lamb. Next time is a lion season. Once you lift up that hand, I chew it off. You can't slap it. You don't say, they say, okay, prophesy, which one of us slapped you? You just say, no, don't worry, it's a lamb season. It's a lamb season. When I come again, once you throw that hand, I eat all of, in fact, I won't say which one of you, anybody that's standing with you enters into the pit. Go and ask Korah, Datan, Abiram. Preach that to God. You know, we keep on saying like, God is, if God is begging you, be reconciled to God. You know what he's saying? He's saying that, hey, even me, I don't like what I will do to you. Yeah. He's saying, even me, I don't like what I will do to you. So, I won't enjoy it, all, but I will do it. So that I won't feel bad. You just repent. Why there is time? Call upon me now that I'm near. Because next time I show up, you know what the inhabitants of the earth said? They said to the rocks, fall on us. Why? That it's better for rocks to fall on us than for us to be exposed to the face of the one that is angry and we can see him. Talking about God. When God is angry with the earth, we have explained it, he sends 4 things. And look, read through the prophets. It's always for one purpose. To cure idolatry. To cure disobedience. To cure iniquity. So that men will turn back. He told them in Isaiah 22, they were reading. He said, when you see that calamity, what did I call for? I call for repentance. So what do you see? 2 things. Number one, you see people who are rejoicing. Say, bring food, Abel, let's chop. Tomorrow we may just die. That's one. Secondly, they go and start fortifying themselves against the judgment of God. This world is very good with that. They spend billions of dollars, not naira now, US dollars, researching against diseases. Some of them succeed. Unfortunately, when they succeed like that, it's God saying something worse is being prepared. Yeah. I'll give an example. There's a disease. It's the second commonest cancer of women. Cancer of the uterine cervix. It has been established that more than 95% is sexually transmitted. It's a cancer, but the organism that causes it, that's what does. So, what does the world do? God said, there's calamity. I'm calling for what? Repentance. Sexual promiscuity. You know? Adultery and stuff like that. Get rid of it in your midst. The world said, no, you can't say that. Because once you say that, you are acknowledging that there is God and he's telling us what to do. We can't allow that. So what do? We go into the labs and we produce vaccines against what we call the high-risk HPV, human papilloma virus. And then we distribute the vaccines all over the world and tell the young lady, please sleep around as much as you can. It's your life. Do whatever you like. This disease, we have taken care of it. And you guess what? It works. And God said, there's no problem. I'm waiting in front. People don't like to ascribe. No, you see, the problem we have with God is that why should you tell us how to live our lives? If I want to snatch my neighbor's wife, why not? That's why I say all the time that it's not like other gods. Other gods don't really care. Just bring my portion of the loot. Other gods are mafia dons. The mafia don doesn't care whether you rob Central Bank Enugu. Doesn't care. But to rob Central Bank Enugu, take 2 billion naira. And he doesn't see 600 million naira on his table. That's when fight will start. So you come to his territory, you steal. But remember to give him his court. That's other gods. But Jesus will say, why are you stealing? Why are you a thief? When he sees you heading for the bank, he will call police, say, one of my boys has decided to steal. Go and catch him. Let me sit on my message. Talking about how to take refuge in the Lord. So this world will periodically experience his judgments. That's why I'm going with all of these things. And it is because he has determined that he will cure idolatry. Simple. He said, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Say, men will come to him, and all who were angry with him will be put to shame. And in the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and with glory. We read on that Saturday that includes all the offspring of Assyria. Do you remember that? Isaiah 22. We said to include all the offspring of Egypt. And then he said Israel will be the third. So these promises, they are not just for Israel as a nation, physical nation of those days, but it's what God has established as his purpose for the Gentiles and for all those who will believe in him. That is, the aim is to convert them to believers. And he said, kiss the son, lest he be angry or you perish out of the way. So that's what he's doing. So anytime, all of this to build up to a particular point. Anytime his calamity comes, what does he say to his people? He said, to you, he will be a refuge. I hope I get my point. Yeah. In the midst of troubles, he has a word. You that have believed, you that fear the Lord, fear not. If the mountains you shake, God said what? Fear not. If the earth, when I was reading the Bible, he said the mountains shake and the earth is thrown into the sea. I said, oh, they had tsunamis that time also. That's a tsunami. Earthquake and tsunami. The earth will quake. Next thing you know, heavy waves of tsunami will come and wash people. He said, no, in that process, you fear not. That's his policy. I will judge the earth. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do about that if they don't respond to the truth that's been told. He said, but this is for those who fear him. Fear not. To them, he will be a sure refuge. You'll be a high tower. You know, when it comes to like tsunamis we're talking about, one of the ways people get out, escape tsunamis is to build literally
high towers. They build walls that can break the wave, break it, and keep the people safe. And God says, to his own people, he will be their refuge. Do you understand that point? I said all this to let you know, see, calamity comes. Stop fighting the devil. Your job as a Christian is preach the gospel, intercede for people, ask the Lord, listen to this, for time. You can never pray away judgment. You can only suspend it until the people repent. That's what intercession does. Nineveh will be destroyed. That generation was not destroyed. They repented. But the sin was not washed away. So another generation came and that one was destroyed. Because they forgot the works of the time of Jonah. So the earth will always have problems. But for you that fear his name, he said he will be a refuge. I hope you're getting my point. That's why he said, the Lord is our refuge. Let's read that scripture. He said, the Lord is our refuge and strength. What is he? A very present help in the time of trouble. He said, therefore, we will not fear. Psalm 46. He said, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in the time of trouble. That in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. How did it begin that? He said, God, in the midst of all of this, what is it? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the times of trouble. Do you understand that? Life has troubles on it. I've said it. Be careful that you don't look for help the way the human beings look for help, the way the average person in this world look for help. Your help must always, you must always go to this help. Every other one you go to will eventually fail. You know, I don't know whether this fits into my message or not. Yesterday I discovered something I never knew it used to happen. People win lotteries, right? We don't have big lotteries in Nigeria. In the US, they have big lotteries. Somebody can win like $100 million. So usually they offer you to take, either you take your lump sum of $100 million, or they can agree to be paying you $10,000 every week or every month for the rest of your life. Or when they give you $100 million, the government will take a huge chunk as taxes. At least, no matter how bad, it's American, no how, you go home with $40 million. Which is a lot of money. So most people just, what do you think? You think government will let you go with $300 million? Lie. Federal government collect their portion. Everybody, by the time they finish, before relatives even say part of the money, more than half government don't, she looks surprised. She looks at her husband like, did he think 60 million will go? You are lucky it's not Europe. If the UK people grab that 100 million, if you see 25 there, you go thank your God. But anyway, I found out yesterday, it was a surprise to me, that normally people tell those who are not, you're not a businessman, you're not a hotel dollar, you get my point, you're not used to big money, you know. So, they always say, please take the monthly pay or weekly pay, that's safer for you. Only for me to find out that a lot of money, they go pay people for 5 years, say money don't finish. Yeah, I was surprised to find out that there's no guarantee. I say, that they just say sorry. Because sometimes the company that's paid, the company will go bankrupt. That's it. The money you thought you had, gone. If you say, okay, let me take the whole thing, that one's even the more difficult, dangerous one. People will finish with you. You won't see money again. So as I was watching that video on it, I looked and I said, God indeed is our refuge and strength. That there's no help anywhere. That the arm of flesh will fail. Can you believe that you win $100 million, 6 years later, you're on the street begging for money? Yeah, it happened to some people. I have a bad name somewhere, but which is a very unfortunate thing. It's the truth I preach. See, Pastor Wang doesn't like people going abroad. You know, I've corrected it many times. Have I? You remember my correction? What is it that I say? I say I don't care where you go. It's why you go that I talk about. After all, if you think of the fact that I was born in Ondo State, went to school, university in Edo State, did NYC in Taraba State, then did residency in Lagos State. Is it not going abroad that I'm now in Enugu State? I mean, there's one massive body of water between Lagos and America, true? Uh-huh. There's a body of water between... It's called River State. It's called River Niger. Water now. How you cross it is a different matter. We are joking there. But the point I'm making is that, see, that's not the issue. People should stop misquoting me. People can go as is necessary. Like, I keep giving a situation. Pilotin came to Nigeria. That was abroad. Paint it any way you like. It only sounds good because you know he didn't come looking for comfort. Yeah, that's why you think he's normal, because you know he came as a missionary. I hope you're getting my point. Uh-huh. So that's what I tell people. Follow purpose. Follow eternal things. You can't always run away from trouble. That's what I just preach. While you are following God's calling, God's purpose, and you are developing the resilience necessary to live on this earth, you can go anywhere. That's what I'm saying. Now, what am I bringing up again today? If you think safety is anywhere, disappointment has been packed waiting for you. And may you be disappointed early. Sometimes when people are disappointed early, they are still struggling. I say, no. Early disappointment is good for you. Because if your disappointment comes 20 years, 30 years later, then great is that disappointment. Are you getting my point? Let's assume now. You say, okay, I'm going to do... Okay, you decide that you're going to South Africa. All right? As an example. That was like 20 years ago. After 3 years, things rough. You decide to come back home and start to continue where you stopped, all right? And maybe after a few years, God helped you and you're okay. But let us assume you were sitting down there for 25 years and they did not tell you, go back. Which one will you have preferred? Let's be honest. That's what I keep saying. That's what I'm saying. You know, people just be misunderstanding me. They keep me. No. What I'm saying is that, see, God is your refuge and strength. There is no country that is your refuge or strength. There's none. There's one guy, I watch his video. I stumbled into it because I entertain myself with YouTube videos. Of course, YouTube knows the kind of videos I watch, so they keep recommending them. So this guy stumbled into him. I watch video on people like... this guy that does detailed analysis of markets in the world and America and all of that, companies and all of that. I enjoy Patrick Boyle. I enjoy watching him and all of that. So they keep on popping things. So one day I stumbled into this guy. He was in Nigeria recently. He goes around, you may have seen him, he interviews rich people all over the world. Just stop him on the streets, just beg for 5 minutes of your time. It was when he got to Nigeria. I enjoyed the Nigeria interview because he got to meet with Aliko Dangote. They helped him get an appointment. He talked to UBA, Tony Elumelu. He talked to a lot of rich people in Nigeria. I know. Talked to people. I watched a few of them. Go and watch it. You know something? I watched the ones he did in a year. You hear? What was the most amount of money you made in a year? $5 million, $6 million. When was that Nigeria, guys? $60 million. That's the kind of thing. Did you notice it? One guy just said, what's the most amount of money you made in a year? The guy, look, $60 million. He asked Dangote, what is the most amount of money you've made in a year? But then he couldn't answer him. How rich do you think? Dangote said, I don't know, but the refinery was built for over $20 billion. Just say it casually. And anytime he can encounter people, when he asks them, what's the most amount of money you made in a year? I've not listened to the one he did with just like, this man, Elomelu, but the man said, but there was a quote there. He said, Africa is where to make it rich. See, as you did there, they complain, they grumble. Boys, they make them. I'm not saying Nigeria is your refuge and strength. That's it, so. I'm just saying there is no strength for anybody anywhere on this earth. If you're a Christian, listen to me. The Lord is your refuge and strength.
Amen.
I need to say that amen again.
Amen.
If I say it after me, say, God is my refuge.
God is my refuge.
He's my strength.
He's my
wealth.
He's my
You know what God said to Abraham? He said, I am thy shield and your exceedingly great reward. Did you miss a word out? Is there a word we miss? I have a feeling we miss a word. When God said to him, I am thy shield, I am thy exceedingly great reward. Some Bibles say, and your reward shall be great. No, that's not what the Lord said. God said, I am your reward. When God tells you, I, about himself, now write it down. One of the ones I enjoy most, when he say, I'm the Lord that he led thee. Bro, learn to pray that prayer. It's not run to hospital first. Get to your knees. Say, dear Lord, but like I say humorously, say, dear Lord, touch, is here. Touch it. Book an appointment. Say, Lord, can we talk about this 8 p.m. today? He's available anytime. But wait when everybody has slept, when you're at peace. And please talk. I don't know. If you've ever seen a doctor here before, I mean, seen a doctor, I don't mean that you went to chemist saying, nah, my head, they ache, guam, guam, guam. They give you a mixture. That's not what I mean. I mean, you have settled down. A doctor has talked to you. If it's ever happened to you, put up your hand, please. Okay, see? Either these people have never been sick or they've been using chemist mixture from, you know, shops. Now, if you have, it's good that you've not been ill, needing a doctor. May you never need them in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a good, it's not an achievement. So those who put up your hands, it's not as if you achieve more than those that did not. You have suffered more than them. That's all it means. So let's leave that. But you see, there's a way doctors behave. I was trained like that. We have a lot of, first we ask you, what is the problem? We call it presenting complaint. Then you must tell a story around the problem. It's called history of presenting complaint. You will tell every, then you now go to your family and social history. Did your father have this sickness? Did your mother have it? Is your brother having it right now? Is there anybody in your family that has it? They want to know whether you drink or you smoke. Or have you been eating turmeric or it is ginger? Sorry. Stuff like that. They ask all those questions. At the point in time, they start asking questions because a lot of patients don't know. They don't link things together. Maybe you have a splitting headache. You don't bother to tell him that you've not been passing urine well for 2 months because you've been managing. But he needs to know. So he's trained to now do a review of all your systems. There are specific kind of questions he will ask. He will take your head and ask a lot of questions. Your eyes, your nose. In fact, you'll be wondering like, Doc, I came talking about headache. Which one is, what is my stool like? Now, you see what I'm talking about it? Then he will not tell you to lie down. He will not start examining. Now, if you have been through that before, that's what I'm talking about. When you go to the Lord, treat him like what? A doctor. Tell him everything. It's a headache. It began 3 days ago. It behaves like this. Lord, you know I used to smoke before I gave my life to Christ. Can you see? You're telling stories. You know, you said I should stop drinking. I stopped. That was like 8 years ago. Since that time, I didn't drink anything, maybe a little bit of wine here and there. I know you don't mind. You know, that kind of say, Lord, I don't smoke Igbo, but I see in front of my smoke teeth. You're laughing. The smoke in front of my smoke teeth when he came to my house last week. But Lord, you know, I will never smoke Igbo. And in case you are smoking it, bread and fast, that's the cause of your problem. Why are you listening to me? Go and stop smoking first. You tell the whole story. I'm telling you how to do. Then I say, Lord, now this is the place. This is the neck. I'm telling you, do like that. You know why? The Bible says, I am the Lord that healed. The literal Hebrew is, I am the Lord your doctor. That's what I'm saying. When he tells you, I am something, brethren, take him seriously. When it says, I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward, what it means is that when everybody's running up and down, go in and take refuge in the Lord. That's the point I'm making. I said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's a prophetic word. So you repeat after David, the Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? It means he leads. I do what? I follow. And once you have made up your mind, the Lord is your shepherd, then read the rest of it. It applies to you. The Lord is my shepherd. What's the next line?
I shall not want. The other day I was praying about something. I had to review my life. I said, Lord, why am I in Enugu? Why? I know how I got here. I told him straight, and I could have been mistaken maybe, but then in my conscious awareness, 100% of the reason I came to Enugu was because I felt he said, go. Yeah, maybe I was wrong. But Lord, please look at the heart. I was very sincere about it. And the moment I arrived, there was nothing that could change my mind. I did not enter into a city that was very prosperous. No. A lot of people don't know that New Haven was not dual carriage. Yeah. A lot of people, they don't know. They won't know Agbani Road was not dual carriage. When I came, it wasn't. They won't know this road here did not exist. This road we are on now, what you call Tunnel Road, it was not there. To move from there to there, you had to go all the way down this way or the other way. When I came to Enugu, it wasn't there. Many people don't know. When you talk about it now, three quarters of the banks you see now were not here. There was one bank, I shall not mention their name. I used to bank with them in Lagos. The day I arrived in Enugu, I went to open an account there. The guy came, I was waiting. I didn't know people see these things like that. When I entered, all right, what do you want? I said, they picked it. Talking to customer, I looked at the man like, are you all right? Then Zedis had opened in town. So one woman was there trying to open an account. And I said, okay, this is your opening balance. You have to deposit the amount of money. And the woman said, is it not too much? He gave her papers back to her. I said, go Zenit. Yeah. Told the customer. I was looking at this man like, are you joking? Now that's how backward the city still was. And when he got my time, I said, huh? What did you say? He was talking to me like that and was freaking his cheeks aggressively. You know, if it's today, they will sack him on the spot. They will sack him the day before. They will look back into the future from that yesterday and sack him. But that was what I encountered in this city. Bad roads everywhere. Then the thing was that the hold up in Enugu was caused by bad roads. And that was not the problem. That was a small thing. The real problem was that for a man to be put in the boot of his own car by bad boys at night was a normal thing. It wasn't strange. One of my pros, they blocked him. They opened the boot of the car as you enter. He said, Lila. The man said, Lila, at my age, shoot me if you want. I'm not entering the boot of that vehicle. One of my guys, if you see that guy, massive human being, they put him in the boot of a 190. You know who I'm talking about? Massive human being. They stuck him in the boot of a 190. It was normal. It wasn't a strange thing. Yet, do you know what? It didn't cross my mind to leave. And his opportunity to leave was not a problem. At the point in time, I got the message from Lagos. Somebody said, come, look at this door. I went there that time. I showed the person the tracks I printed. I said, look at it. P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria, Kingdom World Ministries. I have work I'm doing in Enugu. I didn't go to Enugu because I was looking for opportunities for work. Why will a man leave Lagos and he fly to Enugu? They're looking for opportunity. Does it make sense? Some people say, you came on transfer. Yes, if you look at heaven transfers people. Yes, but for me, it wasn't like that. I told my wife then, we just got married. Wherever we go next, where ministry will start. As soon as we arrive in this city, started printing tracts. 3 years later, we started holding these meetings every Saturday. Those meetings were, the messages were 1 hour. Man on assignment, understanding the new covenant. Those are the things we started with. 1 hour each. It was 1 hour, we're just starting. But secondly, because there was no power in the building. After that 1 hour, it's getting dark. You got to go out. Get out there before it gets dark. We're the one that now put power in the building and all of that. It didn't cross my mind one day to leave. So for that reason, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I tell the Lord, it's you I follow to this city. People will look at me that time and say, it's your wife from here. They think now, they don't know that woman or they send me. You know, some people will chase woman and go out of that country. Lie. You know, I'm not saying it's evil, but I knew I couldn't do it. I said, no, I married first. My wife and I came together. They are looking like, so what brought you here? I answered, for the first few years, I answered those questions.
They were calling my wife Ifoma because they just thought she had to be from here. I said, no, her name is Ufoma. There's a word of difference. They sound, all the consonants are the same. Okay, no, you, different from I. No, that's the vowel, right? Yeah, the consonants are the same. And many of the vowels, they rhyme. They were just wondering, how did you get here? There are people from your part of the country. They don't come here like that unless something brings them. Yes, something brought me. Just know what you are thinking. For that reason, I had a principle from time. If I need a house, I tell the Lord, coming here was not my idea, it was yours. So, Alpha. Till today. I still prayed that prayer about something a few days ago. I still reminded the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Which means he's the one I follow. I've not had any reason at any time in these 26 years to go somewhere else. I won't move just because you say it's uncomfortable. So just go and read my book. Don't quit the army. I'm a soldier. I'm on posting. You don't just make up your mind, that place is too tough, you are leaving. No. The Lord is my shepherd. It means that he goes, I follow. So when he said, Banky, this is your post, stay here. You know what? No matter how rough it is, we will stay there. Yeah. The only person that can make us leave is him. If he says this posting is over, this is the next assignment in your life. When the Lord gives himself a name in your life, be careful. First, it's a privilege. Let me first, it's a beautiful thing. But be careful to follow it. When it says to Abraham, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward, what it means is that just follow me. There's nothing you're looking for that's not inside me. Do you get my point? That's why I preach. People say that, I say no. Follow the Lord. He can bless you anywhere. And his own measure of blessing is not cash. Do you get my point? There are many things he blesses people with, and I'm careful to count the things he blesses me with all the time. Small things. One day my wife was coming from Asaba. Somebody was driving. She had slept off in the vehicle. Then suddenly she woke up to the noise of a terrible accident with her car she was in. The driver trying to overtake. She didn't know what happened because she was asleep. But good enough, she was belted in and everything. The car really, really damaged. Not life-threatening damage for people who are belted in, but serious damage. Let me not go into details about the accident itself. It was within an hour. Some people had arrived there. And it was just, when she just called me, I picked the phone. I called this person. They called. I said, within a short while, she said she was surrounded by people that she knew. Please, ma, come and sit over here. Why will we handle this? One of our brothers in road safety had taken over all the operations. Told these people, go there. Told the vehicle to this thing. No, don't take it to the police station. Do this one. Do. I was just watching. Finally, one of them got a taxi, put her inside. Oh, yeah, off to Enugu. I told somebody, I don't know how you want to quantify that. I didn't leave my house. One brother I called, he was in Asaba at that time. He said, sir, where is the place? Do I start going? I said, no, wait. Let me see what this other person is saying. Then that one said, no, we're already on our way there. So I called him back and said, no, wait. It's not everything that is cash. I mean, I don't want to quantify that. You can't quantify it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some people get up and say, you need any good, they don't have any water, I'll be any good from that day tomorrow. Test has never been my problem. Amen? I've always had water to have my bath, keep my house clean, do our, in fact, one day, one of our brothers came to me and said, sir, please let me be washing your clothes. I looked at him, I said, no, don't worry about it. I have somebody else doing that in my household anyway. He came again and said, sir, please, sir, your clothes. I said, are you going to wash clothes? He said, no, I have an arrangement with some people. I said, well, don't worry about it. Then finally, without notice, the person that was helping me before, he disappeared. Then he came and said, sir. I said, yes, I was looking for you. Since then, till now, my clothes are washed. Yeah. I just packed them, bundled them. Those who know here, they know what I'm talking about. Just bond, they say, hey, oh boy, Back of the car. Yes, sir. Pick it. After some time, wrapped, bundle, worse, smelling nice. Here they are. Dry clean. You, please, take to the dry cleaner. Bill, you know who to give it to. Please, so how do you want to put that in naira? One of our brothers just said, he says, sir, anywhere you want to go. And I said, hey, Omena is going to school. No problem, sir. Next year, Nzuka, put her in the car, drive all the way there, hand over to Uncle Ben, you understand? Yes, sir. Next year, hey, Victory is going to school. For when he got there, the brother asked, why didn't Victory come with public transport? The other brother said, it's the work of the Lord. So this, I brought Victory, his pastor's son, pastor said I should give him your, his, give you his son, take care of him. Enter motor, drive back. Too busy. Quantify that in naira. So when the Lord said, I shall not want. That's what I'm talking about. It's not everything that is money. It's not everything that is money. My younger brothers-in-law, they are in this city. In fact, his mother-in-law will say, she used to, maybe somebody is in the family. Where are you? The time in the hospital, I just walking. Said, they've not, I said, no problem. One day, the man was really ill. So they wanted admission for certain reasons in the hospital near here. They got, they said there was no bed. I said, okay, I'm coming. She was surprised when I walked in. Bed suddenly disappeared. Bed just appeared out of nowhere. Space. You have to say, okay, somebody, I just look around and say, ah, good morning, sir. I said, hey, which class were you? So I said, okay, I said, good. Come. This is my patient. Where's your number? Give them your number. I want, anytime they have a problem, they call you. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's an honor, sir. It's an honor. Hey, it's an honor. What are you talking about? I'm blessed. No, those things, it's not money, eh? But you know, I count it. I count it too. It's not cash. Somebody say, ah, I'm not feeling well. Okay, wait. Some of the doctors I sent some of you guys, if you know their caliber, what are you doing? No, I'm off to work, but I, okay, good. Please stop at this person's house, check how he's doing. Yes, sir. You can leave it though. I'm going to get a job and they pay you in dollars. I can't. It's part of the favors that God has given me. I don't know if our brother, he's watching now. One day, when they did inauguration, you know what I'm talking about? President Tinubu, he was looking so nice. You know, was wearing white. I called him and said, did you see the president's attire? I said, yes. I said, I think I like it. He said, okay, sir. A few days later, it was in Enugu. Then I didn't wear it for a long time until this Alagba wanted to wed. I wore it for his wedding. When I told this to my brother, I just sent a picture. I said, see. He said, sir, you're just wearing it. I said, yes. I said, no. I wanted to keep it for that wedding. It's an important wedding, you know. Some weddings are very important. You have to do it properly. Because they're going to report to you now. You know what he said? He said, sir, you should have said so now. I would have sent another one. It's not only cash that God gives you. It gives you favor. Favor. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So people said, I'm not saying you can go anywhere you like. I came to Enugu because he said so. Guess what? I have been blessed. I've been blessed. Severely. People think everything is about money. See, it's not everything in your life you have to pay for. I don't know. You get my point? Yes, you should be so blessed that some things don't even cost money in your life. So we're just running after money, 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 money. It's not all money. God sends you help. Many of those things you can't pay for. It's not just about somebody doing it. It's for somebody to do something with a heart. That heart is not buyable with cash. You can buy any service, but the heart, you can't pay for that one. So when God says, I am, that's what I'm saying. When he says, I'm your shield, or he says, the Lord is our refuge and strength. I've established that problems come in this world all the time. There's not, God himself sends it. That's where I began from. However, I said, don't worry. In the midst of those troubles, when they come, I am your shield. I am your refuge. I'm your high tower. I'm your defense. I'm your strength. That's what he said. In the midst of the troubles, I am your shield. I am your defense. I'm your high tower. I'm your refuge. The refuge. It is me you will run to. Look, you don't think you just run the you say, okay. See, if God says that this man will not be blessed, there's no country you go to in the world that you'll be blessed. That's the point I'm making. If God says you are not blessed, forget it. Forget it. You will not be blessed. So if you have seen trouble, and if you know what the Bible says, except the Lord builds a house, they are laboring in vain. That is a waste of time, those who build it. So except the Lord watches over a city, the watchmen are awake for nothing. That they stay awake, their city will still be conquered. It's built, the Lord is built, not building with you. It will come crumbling down one day. You know, sometimes they will tell you that the structural engineer made one mistake, or they used, you know, people sell fake things. So it's supposed to be, what kind of rod do you use for main beam in big buildings that are 3 floors? 16 mm. Uh-huh. So it's supposed to be 16 mm. He bought 16 mm, but they sold him 8 mm. You know, some people are evil. They are evil. See, if you're able to watch it, that engineer put 16 mm when he put that in. It was later on, God said, bring it down. One angel rewound the time. Change those 8 mm, those 16 mm, to a very small one and coated it back with black something. No, time works like that. By the time you get there, you'll be doing forensic analysis. You now look for, okay, this was where the problem was. There was no problem when they built it. It was when God put the spirit of collapse on it that they said, we have to explain it to you. And since we cannot put earthquake, let's go back in time and mess up the components inside the building. Say, how many bags of cement? 500 bags. Say, turn half to sand. By the time you are breaking it later, it will look like powder. Say, who did this mixture? Even though they don't know anymore. One evil spirit came, mixed nonsense for them. But it's because the Lord didn't bless it. That's the point I'm trying to emphasize. If the Lord doesn't bless it, the house is coming down. No matter how much effort you put into it, the house will come down. Why am I saying this? So it's important that we know how to take refuge in the Lord. He said, God is our refuge and strength. Always ready to help in times of trouble. That's New Living Translation. He said, so we will not fear. When earthquake comes and the mountains crumble into the sea, let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. What did he say? God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So what we need is to make sure we know how to take refuge in that God. And that's what I'm sharing with us briefly today. How do you take refuge in the Lord? Let's look at a few principles, because faith will always give you a practical, yes. In fact, the scripture I was trying to quote, I just realized now, is Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. It said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. That's Nahum. It said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. So it is important that it's our refuge. It's an ever-present help. But do we take that refuge in him? That's what we are saying. You know what? I have 7 easy points. We just rush through them. And I see them as practical. Should I use the word tips? Allergy. Should we use the word tips or... I don't want to use the word keys. So. But I say, you know how to unlock them. But there's practical steps. Yeah, good. Steps. There are practical steps. Things that show that indeed your refuge is in the Lord. Now, please, whatever you do, make sure your refuge is always in the Lord. And these are there are 7 I have here. 7 things that show that your refuge is in God. Number 1, praying. The fact that you pray is a sign that your refuge is in God. And when I say pray now, let me explain. For example, you are sick. The first thing you do is not to call the doctor that you know. The first thing you do is what? You pray. The first thing you do is you pray. If you are not praying, it's a sign that you're not taking refuge in God. Remember, always present to help
in the times of trouble, that he's always present. What does that tell you? He's present. You need to go to him and invite his power into the situation. Please, it's the reflex with human beings is to panic. And I'm saying to you, don't panic. The first thing you do is what? You pray. I, of course, we don't have enough time to teach in details about what prayer is. But we know prayer is simply coming to the Lord and talking to him. Whether it is praise, whatever name you want to call it. But in the times of trouble, remember, always call upon the Lord. No matter how difficult it appears. You know, one thing the Lord used to say, anytime he sees people in trouble, people that encounter him and he wants to talk to, what's the first thing he tells them? Fear not. I say all the time, that fear not does not mean, it's not a word of advice. With fear, he can't help you. If you don't stop panicking, he can't do anything. And one of the easiest ways to stop panicking is just get on your knees, literally. Listen, no matter what the emergency might be, one man in the scriptures that did not know how to first pray was Saul. Yeah, if he wants to pray and he heard that, twa, outside, he will run. Say, let's go and fight. Not David. In fact, Samuel was the best example. Samuel was talking to him. He said, the Philistines are gathering. He said, I'm busy. He said, I'm busy. Let me finish what I'm doing first. And where are they? Then he prayed, and then God sent thunder. God sent hailstones, sent lightning. We said, but this message I'm preaching, let me finish it. I'm talking to you, let the Philistines, because the Philistines thought he was mobilizing for war. You know, he was just addressing the nation. But Saul said, bring me the effort. They wanted to see what the Lord was saying. He said, the Philistines are gathered. He said, leave it. Then he ran. That's why God left him after a while. You learn to what? Pray. It's a sign that you really are taking refuge in God. Number two, step, is meditation on the word. Now, please, let me remind us of what meditation means. Meditation just simply means that you're always, okay, let me use the word. You've gone crazy talking to yourself. That's a nice one, isn't it? Yeah. That you've gone crazy talking to yourself. That is, you always are muttering what the Lord says. Like now, the one we're talking about. The Lord is my refuge and strength. The very present in time of trouble. Look, I will not be afraid, Joe. I will not be. Now, you're not thinking it in your heart. You are saying it with what? Your mouth. Now, one of the things that news outside are designed for you to do to you is to make you panic. So you respond. Even if the Bible says 1,000 will fall on my side, 10,000 on my right hand, none will come near me. And you say it. Let your wife say, oh, are you talking to somebody? Say, yes. Who? Myself. That's what the Bible calls. And you know what he told Joshua? He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So if he gives commandments, talk about it. The Lord said, don't worry. Look, I am not going to worry, Joe. No, the first time I saw somebody doing that thing, it's very similar to number two. So the guy was doing something between this number one and number two. Number two now. I was in a room. This brother, I wasn't very used to him. He came to campus. He had some issues to come and handle. We were in school because we're medical students. We didn't go home. So he came to stay in our room. It was my first experience with somebody like that. At the point in time, I actually took his stroll to allow him do his madness all by himself. Because he wouldn't keep quiet. He's dressing up, he's saying something. I still remember he wore these big boots. The boots reach like here. Under his trousers. The guy is removing his shoes. He's talking. Sounding his cloth. He's talking. He wants to go and have his bath. He's carrying the towel. He's talking. So after a while, I wore my slippers. I took a stroll. Because I wasn't sure the raw was okay. It was years later I realized that he was the normal one. I was the abnormal one. Like Akindu said, the closed mouth is what? A closed destiny. My children, they're very funny. So he has this little boy picture. He took when he was, how old was he that time? Maybe like 4, 5? Yes. He wore a agbada and wore a big cap. You would have thought it was the PDP. My mother-in-law used to call him PDP chairman. Except that he had a feeding bottle in the hand, you know. And his mouth was half open like this, as if he's looking at something. So his brother now said that, why is your mouth open? He said, because a closed mouth is a closed destiny. That's when I realized, I say, that brother was normal.
I'm the one that was abnormal. Why? Closed mouth. He wouldn't close his mouth. All through the period he was there, he was always saying something or the other. But I do remember it was scripture. It wasn't gossiping PDP and APC, or is it PDP? Okay, NDC and ADC. No. Huh? Oh, even that one all day. Oh. All right, let me mind my scripture. Let me just leave these politicians alone. I don't know what they are doing to themselves. But he wasn't talking politics. He wasn't talking football. Hey, there's a match today, right? He wasn't talking World Cup. He was talking scripture all the time. A sign that you're taking refuge in the Lord is you're always meditating on his word. He told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And that takes us to number 3, which is an extension of that. Always now, when you are meditating, who are you talking to? Yourself. You're talking to yourself. But this other one is you're talking both to yourself and to the environment. You are declaring the promises of God. I hope I get my point. And usually in response to something. You say, this country, we don't know what's going on. What will the young person do now? Okay, is it only young people that complain? Old people also complain. When they say, well, you answer with that. Say, in fact, one day, one woman, a senior person to me, went for a meeting. She was there. She came from out of town. Where from the university or the postgraduate medical college. So we decided to just keep the woman company. We're talking. And she spent all the time talking about Nigeria. How Nigeria is a useless country, it's finished and all of that. You know, you can't argue with your senior. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. But you know what I did? I made sure every statement she made, I answered it with wisdom. How did I answer the thing? Said, this country is finished. Somebody is not even safe again. I always answer, Yeah, the country has issues, but God will help us. Anytime we go out, these angels will watch over us. I won't keep quiet. A closed mouth is what? Yes. After a while, I said, you really believe what I said? I do. Because everything she said, I had this, and was very nice. I would be laughing. Say, do you know I was kidding? Because she came from a relatively close place. Okay, Benin. Where I drive to Nduka. You took my wife there a few days ago and two of my children. And you guys came back the next day. That road is so dangerous. She can't. So to come from there, go Lagos. Then fly, go, come and go. I said, why did you go through that? I said, no, you know, this country, you know, the roads are so dangerous. I said, God has been keeping us. He will continue to keep us. I'll just drop it small. There's no future again. Future doesn't lie there by itself. You create it. God will help us create a good one. He said, I'm telling the thing that we said. He said, they have sold this country. I said, we will buy it back. He said, the leaders, they have sold this country. I said, man, we will buy it back. God will give us the strength to buy it back. That's why I said that confession of the words is usually in response. Remember, God is our what? Refuge. So when somebody tells there's calamity coming, tell him what the refuge will do for you. Tell the person what the refuge will do. And remember, there's a testimony I gave here some time ago, which I saw on CNN, being reported by Christian Amampo. That Bandaache tsunami. Of 2003, right? It's been a while anyway. I can't remember the exact year for sure. This man was a Christian in Indonesia there. The tsunami hit, killed almost 250,000 persons that died. The tsunami, he saw it coming. He ran. He was running an orphanage. He's a missionary. He packed all his children into a boat and they began to run. When they saw they could not outrun the wave, suddenly, now we believe it was the Holy Spirit, he had an idea to turn and ride the wave. So just told the person piloting their craft, he said, turn. What did you say? I said, turn. What do I do? Face the wave. Full throttle. They were running before, you know, before that, they were running. He turned. Told the guy, face it. What will you do? He's the boss. And all of us are going to die together, Abby. So it doesn't matter. He turned, faced the wave. Guess what happened? He just went to the top of the wave and dropped gently behind. Not one person that was with him died. None of his children, it was an orphanage that he was taking care of, died. And he told Christian Amampo, I watched this on CNN. He said, I trusted my God and he delivered me. Remember,
On what channel? If it was CBN, we'll say in our church. But this was on CNN. I watched it. Did CNN agreed to air this? So I trusted my God and he delivered me. That's how you respond to every situation. When they say, man, things are bad now. Say, the God we are serving will take care of us. Please. Now, let me tell you, it's possible to annoy the Lord. And you know, in a refuge, he will open the door and shove you out of the stronghold and close his door. Go and take care of yourself. And if you want that to happen, open your mouth and import evil talk into the place. What do I mean by evil talk? Like, we have died now. This country, the leaders have sold this country. There's no hope again. We don't even know what's going to happen. They sold our future. You've heard it before, haven't you? You can never make it in this country. You can't. You know what God will do? He will open his door and tell somebody to push you out and close his stronghold. Then you'll be exposed to everything negative you have said will happen to you. Number four, I'm rushing through it. Number four, Baba is number four. Okay, two and three were similar to each other. That's why. Two is confessing a meditation on the word, which you are talking to yourself. Then three is confession of his promises, in which you are declaring in response to many situations and challenges that may rise up or speak up against you. Number four is the giving of thanks. Constant giving of thanks is a sign that you are taking refuge in the Lord. Always acknowledging what he has done. Giving him thanks. For good, like my wife was leading prayer earlier. Even if it looks like a bad thing, keep giving thanks. Because let me tell you, you must, because it's a sign that you know that in the midst of this, he has provided escape for you. He told his people, he said, when you see such things, say, look up. He said, straighten up and lift up your head. Why? Your redemption draws near. Sometimes in this city, I just drive around and say, Lord, Abba. There's one scripture that came to me some time ago. It's been so heavy. I still repeat it once in a while. I said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I said, look, if you need anything in Enugu, don't forget that scripture. You know who owns this city? The Lord. You know what he said? And the fullness. You know who owns UNN? You know who owns Esut? Do you know who owns the Lion House? Do you know who owns the whole of Independence Layout? All the big companies in this city, you know who owns them? See, if you ever need anything in this city, don't ask who do I know. First thing you do is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't want you to go and harass somebody, but use style. If your landlord is terrorizing you too much, just use style to let him know. The earth is the Lord's. You have to be nice. It's not a threatening thing. You parked into a house yesterday. They told you the rent was 200,000. Then you spent 200,000 to nice it up. Then the man comes and says, ah, you forgot, it's supposed to be 450. You know you're a Christian. So the Bible says, follow peace with all men. So you give him money of peace. Say, ah, that's how this boy get money. Next day, he said, the rent is now 1.5 million. Just you start to tell him, say, no problem. Yeah. The Lord will bless you. Thank you for the 1 year I've stayed here. After all, the earth is the Lord's. And the full, all of us are the Lord's. Oh God, you are the Lord. I'm the Lord. Even this house I'm staying in is the Lord's. If he doesn't use his tongue to count his teeth. If he doesn't talk to himself. Do you know what? It's actually the Lord's. Be nice. But don't ever forget, the Lord owns it. And if you do, you know, because there's some things that are unjust. If you do unjustly, and I will call my brethren first. What this man is doing, is he just? If they say no, should we report to the Lord? No, we should. But please, anytime you are reporting somebody to the Lord like that, always go as an intercessor. There's avenge me of my adversaries. But Lord, can you do it gently? I know what I'm telling you. God shouldn't kill somebody because of 2-bedroom flat. Will you like that? No, because if you don't, he will. No, let me know. What I'm saying may sound like a joke. If somebody has had a serial, you know, habit of wickedness towards people, and the Lord won't do anything because nobody has complained. The first person that complains, God said, don't worry, it's good. See, He's been doing this since 1985. You finally are talking in 2026. You want to add it up. So you have to say, Lord, easy. Just take it JJJJ on him, please. I'm begging you. I'm not sure he's saved. The Lord said he's saved. Eh? He's a Christian. He said, but still have mercy on him, sha. That prayer you pray, I'm not joking, will save his life. I'm talking about what? Giving of thanks. Give thanks all the time. What did I say? Please let me rush. I don't want to keep us for too long. Number five, very important. Fellowshipping with other believers. If you are not having fellowship with other believers, I doubt whether you are taking refuge in the Lord. I'm serious about that. If you are listening to this, you know those streaming people? The Lord will bless you. Amen? No, you know I said streaming people. Some people will never go to church. They say they are streaming. It's not me that's teaching you that bad habit. You must have a company of believers. People, okay, you are streaming. Have I ever listened to you? You listen to me all the time. Do you get my point? Have we exchanged? I know the Holy Spirit has helped you through the things I'm saying. But beyond when I'm talking, there are things that I will not tell you. God said, go and listen to your friends. Some of you are very wicked to your wives. Very. When I'm talking, the pastor doesn't understand. Your friends understand. They say, what don't you understand? Tell us. They are the ones that will give you godly counsel. Counsel that I can't give you. Everybody must belong to a company of believers, and you must gather with them regularly. I don't care how depressed you think you are. Have you ever heard things before? How do you describe? I like to be... There are some cliches we like to use, make them feel like celebrities. Celebrity with problems. No, I like my space. I like to be on my own. I like to keep to myself, yes, you know. I like my space, you know, so that people will not intrude. Nonsense. That's why the devil is tossing you up and down like this. I don't have time to read all the scriptures. But the gathering together of saints. Remember how I interpreted that Psalm 1 before? He said, blessed is the man who does not what? Who does not sit where? And does not what? He does not stand in the path of sinners. Does not sit in the seat of scoffers. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He said he will be like a tree firmly planted where? In streams of water. True or false? No. Let's go back again. In streams of water? Where is he planted? By. It's planted in the soil. It's not planted inside the stream. Do you get my point? What is the unique thing about that soil? It's rich in what? Water. Now the soil describes people. He will say, I'll make you as plenty as what? The sand on the seashore. No, but it makes sense. Does it not make sense? The one that is not blessed, he walks in the counsel of what? The wicked. He stands in the path of sinners. He sits in the seat of scoffers. So he essentially keeps company with the wicked, with the sinners, and with scoffers. So the opposite has to be company. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yeah, the opposite is company. It's company, the kind of company. So he said he's planted, all right, amongst people that are soaked with the word of God. That's what it means. Do you get my point? Yeah, I'm watching my time. One important characteristic of somebody who's taking refuge in the Lord is that he constantly fellowships with other believers. Two more to go, quickly. Number six, in everything we say, open to me what? The gates of righteousness. A sign that you are taking refuge in God is that you don't break the rules of righteousness. To get out of your trouble, you don't, you know, on Saturday we're explaining something here, that this is how it goes. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Now, he said, just after that, I think verse 5, he said, if anyone lacks what? Wisdom, let him ask. Which means that every time you're inside trials, inside troubles, there is what to do to come out of it. And you may not know it. So if you don't know it, what do? You ask. And we now went to Psalm 118, which says, open to me the gates of righteousness. We said, there is always a way. That's the way of God. Or let me put it this other way. There is a way that is the way of God. There are many ways into anything. But there is one particular way that's called the way of righteousness. If you are taking refuge in God, you will insist that I must do it the way of righteousness. I hope you're getting my point. On a constant basis. Number 7 is very similar to this. In fact, I think I've mixed up a bit. Because number 7, okay, no. On a constant basis, you must always walk according to God's precepts. It is not only, listen to this, when you have trouble, you say, what is the Lord saying? When you don't have trouble, what's the Lord saying also? If you need a lot of money for your business, for your life, you know, it makes sense to say, what is the Lord saying? Is that not so? What about when the money is plenty and it's laid up in an account? You don't even know what to do with it. Do you ever ask? Finish it for me. Do you know he has something to say when you are broke? Answer me.
Yes, sir.
But do you know he also has something to say when the money is plenty? Yes, sir. He said he gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So in the money he gave you, there is seed to the sower. Have you ever asked him, Lord, all this money I have, what am I supposed to do with it? Now, many people want to take the refuge in the Lord when money is empty, when there's no money. But when there's money, Lord, I'm coming. You take refuge somewhere else. But see, it's more dangerous not to be in the Lord when you have a lot of money. Because that time you get swept by Satan and his temptations. That's what I mean. Constantly walk by the precepts of God. Last of all, because of time, it's an extension of number 6. In every, in fact, that's one I said, I think I mixed up. I should have said this other one first before I said what I introduced number 6 with. In every situation, watch out, make sure you do something that is pleasing to God as a response. It's very similar to what I meant, what I was teaching in number 6. In number 6, you're making it a habit on a daily basis. But now we're talking about a particular situation. Let's give an example. Your name is David. You are taking refuge in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
No, answer me now. Amen?
Amen.
Your name is who?
David.
And then Saul is kept in front of you. He's asleep. Your men are there. And when I say your men, I mean people like Joab. When I say your men, I mean people like Abishai. Those are the men that are with you. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the situation, right? There are a number of ways. One, you can kill him and end all your troubles. And it's the blood of war. I mean, it was when he was chasing you. It's the blood of war. You're at peace. But there's no trouble. Or you can obey the instruction that Samuel gave. Don't touch the Lord's anointed. Otherwise, you will not be guiltless. Guilt will come upon you. In that situation, as bad as it seems, I mean, like, for your health, for your safety, the one that pleases the Lord is to let Saul live and you walk away. That's what I was saying earlier. I introduced 6 with you, but this way is supposed to come number 7. In every situation, please don't do that which displeases God. Please, in every situation, don't do that. See, they say you are going to go to lion's den. He said, but bowing down to this idol or refusing to offer my prayers to God and instead offering it to the king would be wrong. I'd rather do that which pleases God than do that which will save my life. That's how you take refuge in the Lord. Let's bow down our heads, please. Again, let's give the Lord thanks. Now, I want you to take a moment, say this at least 7 times. The Lord is my refuge and strength. You need to declare that again and again. If everybody declare it loud, everybody say after me, the Lord is my refuge and strength.
Lord is my refuge and strength.
A very present help in the time of trouble.
A very present help in the time of trouble.
Say that again. Now everybody say that to yourself a number of times. Just keep on saying again and again. Take a moment. Yes. And I think of any trouble you may be in. The Lord is my help. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my refuge and strength.